Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you right now to hear your word. I ask you to give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive. Lord, I ask that what you are bringing to us this morning is a calling. A calling that is bigger than anybody here. A calling bigger than any church. A calling bigger than any nation, any government. It's an eternal call with eternal consequences. So Lord, I ask you to help us to understand what you are saying to us this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Now, we finished up the book of Galatians last week. This sermon series was a difficult series. The book is difficult to teach because the book is, in fact, a letter of rebuke, of correction to a church. If you notice, Paul didn't say anything good about what the Galatians were doing, because they were doing it all wrong. And then to teach a book that is a corrective in nature, sometimes people can feel the pastor is coming down on them. And what was going on in the book is spiritual warfare, which we'll see today, and it still goes today. And so teaching a book about spiritual warfare happens because the enemy is still around. Spiritual warfare was taking place all through the last several weeks of this book, making life very difficult, to be honest. Because we're bringing to light the differences of Christian religion versus biblical Christianity. And the reason the warfare was still hard in the last several weeks is because it is still a very serious problem today. There are many Bible passages that warn that in the end, on Judgment Day, many will fall victim to the deception of Christian religion, of easy belief. Believing in Jesus, but holding on to sinful ways. Thinking your simple belief in Jesus and your religious good works is good enough. Christian religion is a false version of Christianity that promotes pride in oneself. You start seeing all the things that you do that make you good. It's a false Christianity that compromises the truth of God's Word. It's a false version that does not require obedience to the Word of God, every aspect of it. It's a false version that has no discipleship, no sanctification. Basically, a person can create their own version of God, Jesus Christ, and the church. Their version that is comfortable and pleasing to themselves. Then you have biblical Christianity. Spiritual Christianity, as we talked last week. Spiritual meaning under the control of the Holy Spirit. Being sanctified by the Spirit. Walking the path of biblical discipleship. To bring the truth of God's Word out into the open for all to see. To humble ourselves. To obey the Word. To become true followers of Jesus Christ. And one of the main points that Paul makes in the book of Galatians is Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. The liberty. Christ has set us free, not only free from sin, but free from religion. And we're to stand fast in that liberty. Stand fast there because that is where sanctification is. Sanctification doesn't happen when we're in sin because we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And sanctification is the process of the Holy Spirit. So if we're in sin, then sanctification doesn't happen. If we're in religion, same thing. Sanctification doesn't happen. Only when we stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. We talked about what that yoke of bondage was. Now the enemy wants us back under the bondage of sin and of religion. Bondage of self, where it's all about you. But that word entangled actually didn't focus on when we went through the book. And before we move on to Ephesians, the next book in the Bible, God put this sermon on my mind, and it's connected to this entangled word. Do not be entangled. What does that mean? Why does the enemy want us to be entangled instead of standing fast? Because those who are entangled are no longer a threat. It's like military days. We have what we call Constantine wire, razor wire. Those are razor blades on there. Much better than the old barbed wire. This is razor wire. And once one of those razors snags your uniform or your gear and you try to get out, it just envelops you. It's crazy stuff. Go to the next picture. When we put it up, it's tangle wire, and this is to keep the enemy soldiers from infiltrating our perimeter. They have to crawl through this stuff. And once one razor blade gets on you, the others just kind of close in and you just get entangled. And you get so entangled you can't get out. Once you're in this razor wire, you can't get out. And the more you struggle in it, the more the razor blades cut into you. It's nasty stuff. I saw a Marine one time get caught in this stuff. We had to cut him out. He got like 60 stitches. The more you try to get untangled, the more you get tangled. Go back to Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled. This is the idea of what Satan wants for you. To be entangled with the yoke of bondage, and there's many forms. It could be just sin, worldliness, the cares of this life, religious ways, religion, or just plainly yourself. Instead of standing fast in the liberty of Christ and living for Christ, you're entangled with self or sin. And once you get entangled, you are neutralized as a threat to Satan. Peter also talked about being entangled. 2 Peter chapter 2. He's talking about false teachers. Context here. These are wells without water. Terrible to go to a well in the middle of the desert. You finally find a well and there's no water in it. How depressing is that? Clouds look like they're going to rain, but they don't. Carried by a tempest. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? These false teachers who are trying to entangle, bring believers back into bondage. He says their destination is reserved in blackness of darkness forever. A reference to hell. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Boy, we see this. You go home right now and find this on your TV. So-called pastors and teachers of the word. We're out there and they're giving all these words, their fancy sermons and their fancy suits. And their words are empty. And they're drawing people back to have their best life now. God is here to bless you. And that's what it's all about. And it's luring through the lust of the flesh. Through lewdness. So many people are compromising the truth of holiness that we are called to, and worldliness, that it's okay to be worldly and sinful as long as you claim belief in Jesus Christ. You can do both. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, verse 19, while they promised them liberty, they promised what Christ says he'll give. They promised them liberty. They themselves are slaves of corruption. They're in bondage. How can they bring liberty to anybody? For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. People start out. Galatians started running Paul said, you started so good, and now you're entangled. You've slid back. False teachers of Peter's day, same as the false teachers of today. All teach a corrupted version of Christianity. Promising liberty, but actually entangling people and snaring them, taking them back to religious ways, selfish ways, pride. Once pride sets in, the old self reemerges. Flesh takes over, sinful conduct follows. This is deception. This is part of spiritual warfare. And it's ongoing. It's never ceased. Every believer is in danger of falling into this trap. So it's so important for each believer to stand fast in the liberty of Christ, to stay in sanctification and remain in sanctification, to resist the devil and all his schemes. Is that what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6? Verse 10, following my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand fast against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty, in the truth. We have to make a stand in our faith, in our lives, in our church, in our ministries, to stay in the liberty of Christ, to stay in sanctification, to put on the whole armor of God. Armor. It's a reference to being a soldier, like a soldier puts his armor on in war. And we, folks, are in a war. The World War II generation understood their country was at war. And even those that weren't in uniform served and sacrificed and carried the banner and the cause here at home to support the troops overseas and the cause. They lived differently. They were willing to sacrifice every day. We are at war, folks. There's a spiritual war. And many Christians do not live as if we're at war. We're caught up in the cares of this life and doing things, and we don't have a war mindset, but we are called to have a war mindset. We are actually called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ in this spiritual war for the souls of humanity. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself, herself, with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Do not let ourselves be entangled with non-eternal things, the cares of this world. We don't let ourselves be entangled with our pride and our self sinful and selfish ways. We're to be good soldiers. That's why I've entitled this sermon, A Different Kind of Soldier. You guys see the picture? Never seen that before, have you? We're a different kind of soldier. Jesus said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. We started the movie series last week, Sheep Among Wolves. We watched volume 1. People were touched. There was people moved by what they saw. Tonight we'll have volume 2. All about believers in Jesus Christ living their faith in Islamic countries in the Middle East, facing real torture, real prison, and death for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they do it anyway. Because they're at war. They see the face of the enemy, and they see the people being lost, and they're soldiers. They're good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I want to share some quotes from the movie last week. First one is, persecution is part of the Christian life. Is that a true statement? Yes, click once for me. Click once for me. Thank you. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Don't raise your hand for this, please. But answer the question to yourself. If this statement is true, persecution is part of the Christian life, which it is, all who want to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. As a Christian, does your Christianity bring persecution upon you? If it doesn't bring any persecution from the world, from those who are lost in the darkness, then your Christianity is missing something. If your Christianity is just about attending church, serving in a ministry, being a good person, and there's no persecution coming at you personally, your Christianity is missing something. Here's another statement. A young lady said this. I have given up my rights. I have given up my position. I have given up everything for Jesus. I have given up my desires. I have given up my future. I offer my body, my life as a living sacrifice. What are the key words there? Given up, given up, given up, given up, given up, offer. Do you see in this statement anywhere, where's my blessings? What am I getting back from you, God? Where is my comfortableness? No, it's all about offering, giving up this for God and offering what's left to God. You know why? These believers were saying, what is one day of death? What is 10 days of torture? What is 40 years in prison for Jesus Christ compared to eternity? You see, these believers are so amazing, they're not seeking blessing. They're not seeking comfortableness. They are seeking to serve in a war. They're soldiers of Jesus Christ. And they have everything they need. They have Jesus. And they have eternal life that is so glorious that no matter what they go through in this life, it doesn't matter. They're amazing. Listen to the next one. If my death is God's best plan for me, I can find peace in that. Wow. If God's plan for me, His great plan to show Himself, to glorify Himself in me, is for me to die at the hands of Muslims or anybody else, that's okay with me. That's what He's called me to. My life is His. It's no longer about me. Whew. That's the heart of a believer right there. That's somebody that's connected to Christ, who has the heart of Christ. A person who's really experiencing a deep and personal walk with Jesus that they could, and they mean it because they're living it. They're dying. It's not a shallow relationship, which is interesting because that's what the next person said. I thank Christ for saving me from a shallow existence in Him. Shallow. It's like when you go to the beach and those that stay in the shallow part, then those that are going out in the deep waves, and there's a difference there, is there? There are believers who want to be in the shallow aspects of faith. Get their feet wet. They're not too uncomfortable. They're not challenged with big waves or anything. They're definitely not in no fear, no danger of drowning. They're right there in the shallow. But see, there's a place where you can grow more in Christ than in the shallows. The people who stay in the shallow end of the faith, that's where you find religion. That's where you find most of it. It's about you because you're only in it feet deep, maybe knee deep. But those who go out into the deep aspects of faith. Because see, Christ, where is Jesus walking on the water? Is he walking on the water in the shallow? He's walking out there. Where does he call us out of the safety of the boat? Into the shallows or in the deep? See, there's where we experience Christ, because there's where Christ is. We are called not to be in a shallow relationship. We're called to be where Jesus is, to be in the fight, to be a true soldier of Jesus, but a different kind of soldier. So, yeah. Now, we're going to connect what we see here because it's truly amazing what God is calling us to. Before we kind of really explain, on the lack of a better word, let me ask you this. What makes a good soldier in today's army, today's military, the real guys? What does it make to be a good soldier? Well, as a soldier, I came up, you know, there's lots, I can come up with a whole list of everything a soldier needs to be. And we actually have several aspects inside the Army and Marine Corps of what makes a good soldier Marine. But there's three things overall that you must have to be a good soldier. First is physical condition. You got to be physically fit. You got to be able to run and be strong enough to take it to the enemy and not grow weary and be able to be strong enough to carry all the equipment. And you got to be physically fit to be a good soldier. Two, you must have tactical knowledge. You must know battlefield tactics. You must know how to use the weapon systems and how to outsmart the enemy. Got to have the tactics up here, the knowledge of a soldier. And then three, you have to stay focused on the mission. Stay focused on the mission, not the war. You're just a soldier. You can't win the whole war, but you have a mission you can do inside that war. So you stay focused on the mission. It is the same with us believers. We're in a spiritual war. Now, we don't have to worry about being physically fit, but we do have to be spiritually fit. Spiritual condition. Sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Growing. Having Christ formed in us. Not holding on to sin. Not holding on to religion. Being sanctified. Spiritually fit, God working in us. Then, we don't have to worry about tactics in warfare, but we do have to worry and be knowledgeable in the Word of God. To be able to take the Word of God, especially the gospel, a biblical gospel, and share it with people who are lost, who cannot understand what we're talking about. To have the biblical knowledge to give a reason for the hope that is in you. How you know what you believe and why you believe it. What God says, you got to be able to share that. You got to know it. And finally, we have to stay focused on the mission. What is our mission as believers? Share the gospel, the Great Commission. Believers, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into His body of Christ, the church. The church has one mission, the Great Commission. Each one of us is tasked with being a witness. Why? How do we know that? Because He gave us, each one of us, the Holy Spirit to be His witnesses. If not all of us were called to be His witnesses, then He would have just given the Spirit to those who were going to be witnesses. But He gave it, all of us, the Spirit to be His witnesses. And you're not a witness in church. You're a witness out there in the darkness. You're not a witness here necessarily in a ministry here inside the church. You're a witness out there. How do we stay focused on our mission? How do we become good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Well, it's simple. We follow the example of the original disciples. Let's go to Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. You see, the very first thing we have to understand is Jesus made, or the disciples made themselves available to Jesus. Jesus said, go over there, meet me. I'll be there. You come and meet me over there. And they went. They could have said, no, this is going too far. I'm going back home. No, they went. They made themselves available to him. They showed up. We have to make ourselves available to Jesus as well. He has saved us. He has brought us into the body of Christ, the church. And now he says, to be my witnesses. We have to show up. How can you even show up for Jesus Christ to be used in this great war when many today don't even show up to church? We come here to get equipped, to get strengthened, and then be sent out as good soldiers on mission. Got to show up. Got to give them our lives, our family, our friends, our occupations, because those are the places we're going to be. And those are the people we're going to be interacting with, and that's where He wants to use us to be His witness. When we make every aspect of our lives available to Him, then He can work in those areas through us. We have to make ourselves available. Verse 17. When they saw Him, when they got there and they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some doubted. Some doubted. Many people have never seen those three words. Because we always go to the next two verses in the Great Commission. We're totally focused on the two verses, and then we don't see this one. And we don't see those three letters, but some doubted. Here's one of the most beautiful aspects of Scripture. Transparency. These disciples were just average men. The women who were with them, average women. The first 120 members of the first church, average people. And they had doubts. You can't live a life of faith without some doubts. But what was their doubt all about? Was it doubt in Jesus? At this moment, I don't think so, because they were worshiping Him. They see Him who for He is. They're worshiping Him. Even though we can have doubts about God sometimes. But here, I think their doubt was not about God. Not about Christ. I think their doubts were about themselves. Could they do what God is calling them to do? You know what? Nothing wrong in doubting yourself. We should doubt ourselves. Who are we that God should even see us, let alone save us, let alone call and use us? Who are we? Once we start thinking we're good, God can use me, I'm pretty good, you're just on the slippery slope of pride and sinfulness. We should doubt ourselves. Because without Christ, we are nothing. We're all far from perfect, all of us. The enemy wants to think that we're better than what we are. So when we fail, and we will all fail in our walk with Christ at times, He'll be there to beat us down, to entangle us in depression, guilt. That's why we have to embrace the grace of God every day. That is why we need to show grace to one another. Some doubted here. Some of us may doubt ourselves. Many of us, or maybe even all of us, doubt. We can go out and be good witnesses for Jesus Christ. It's too scary. But look at what Jesus said next to them. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus, God Himself in human flesh, the one who brought all things into existence, the one who knew you before you were even born, The one who formed you in the womb. The one who has called you out of darkness and saved you by His grace. The one who is the author and finisher of your faith. The one who has promised to finish the good work He started in you. The one who has given you His Spirit. The one who has all authority in the entire universe has enlisted you to be one of His soldiers. All we have to do is make ourselves available to Him. Submit ourselves to His authority. Make ourselves available for Him to work in us and work through us. Submit ourselves to His authority. He is in charge. And through Him, we can do all things that He has called us to do. And what has He called us to do? The very next verse. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We go out into the world each day, actively looking for situations that we can show Jesus Christ to others. We look for opportunities to share the truth of Jesus. And sometimes we miss them. Other times we grab them. But if we're not ever looking for them, we'll never find them. And there are opportunities to go out and share the gospel. There are people we could have those uncomfortable conversations with. But the reason we don't is because they're uncomfortable and we want to be comfortable. We're feet in the water. We're not going to go the deep. That's too uncomfortable. That's too much work. I like it here in the shallow part. No, Jesus is calling us deeper than that. We have to let people know of their sin, their separation from God, their coming judgment, and how they too can be saved from that judgment. A person must repent of all sin and believe in the one who died for that sin. This is the commission. This is the mission of us all. Every average person. One of us. Will this have a negative impact on your life? Most certainly. Yes. You can count on it. Will the enemy target you? Oh, yes. Once you step out, you become a threat. He'll target you. Will some form of persecution come your way? Guaranteed. That's why we have to have a mind and heart, not just of a sheep, but of a soldier. 2 Timothy 2, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier is willing to sacrifice. A good soldier is willing to get dirty. A good soldier is willing to suffer for the cause. A good soldier is willing to make the ultimate sacrifice if needed. Remember what our brothers and sisters said in the movie last week, Sheep Among Wolves? They're giving it. They're ready to serve. And nothing is going to entangle them. Nothing is going to get in the way of being good soldiers and in pleasing the one who enlisted them as soldiers. They're serving. The next one. My death is God's blessed plan for me. I can find peace in that. Now for us here in America, not likely anytime soon, will we be faced with torture, prison, or death for sharing Jesus with others? We're not going to. You can go out and share the gospel and you're not going to face that. The Iranians are. But they're doing it anyway. Oh, we might get some bad words said to us. We might be called something, some name. But where people have their lives on the line, they're willing to do it. Where we, here in America, under freedom, who aren't going to suffer persecution of that kind, we're unwilling to. We're too entangled in the cares of our lives. We're too busy. Someone else will do it. It's a pastor's job. Professional missionaries. Those who are trained. Folks, from you young people up there to the oldest one down here, you are called to be good soldiers. Matthew 28:19. Go, soldiers, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them. Let me be very clear. If your walk with Christ, I'll tell you, I can guarantee you, you can figure out from this simple little, what I'm about to say here, are you in the shallow aspect of faith or are you going out into the deep aspects of faith? You can find out right here. If your walk with Christ does not include sharing the gospel with others, if your walk with Christ is not public for all to see, if your walk with Christ is just attending church, serving in some ministry here, but you don't share the gospel with others out there, you are in the shallows. You are falling short of the calling of Jesus Christ. Now, you've made it in your mind and your heart. You've refocused what the Bible actually says, and you've come up with your own version of Christianity that says you're a pretty good Christian. And when you start thinking that you're a pretty good Christian, you realize you've slid from the path and you're in religion. It's that easy to be entangled. Remember, one little razor gets you, the rest of them are going to entangle you. If you think you're pretty good, if what I'm saying is starting to offend you at all, that's a sign that you're entangled in something that's not good. Because I'm just telling you what God has told us. We are called to share the gospel with others. It's not just my job. It's not just the deacon's jobs or ministry head leaders. It is all of us. But just like the original disciples, you may have doubts. You may have many fears. They had fears, but they chose to make themselves available. They chose to submit themselves to the authority. They were obedient to go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and share the truth. People, we can too. Our culture is just like their culture. It's not 1950 anymore where most people are believing God and 70% of Americans were going to church. Now it's less than 20% and most don't believe. Or if they believe, they have a false version of belief. It's just like the first century when the church was heading out from the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. They were heading out into a pagan world. Folks, pagan world. Yes, we can say, well, the church is in decline. The Bible predicts that the church will be in decline towards the end. I understand that, and it's all true. But it doesn't mean we have to stop going out on mission. We still go out on mission. Because even though the future is bleak, there's a greater future coming after the bleakness, after the darkness. That's what we hold on to. And we can do this because Christ has promised to be with us. The last verse in that chapter. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus will be with you. But to experience His presence, His power, we must be willing to leave the shallow water, the shallow faith, the easy belief where comfortableness is, that's what Christianity is all about, being comfortable. We have to venture out into the deep because that's where Christ is. Like the person said, I thank God for saving me from a shallow existence in Him. Do you want to know where you'll experience God the most? You want to know where it'll feel like He is literally, physically there walking with you? It's out in the deep. It's out where you're being stretched. It's where things are the hardest in life. Greatest fears and worries. Waves are breaking over and you can barely keep your head above water. And sometimes you can't. But there is where you meet Christ. There's where your relationship becomes real and deep and personal. That's where you find the greatest grace and strength and purpose and love and passion. But you got to push yourself outside your comfort zone. You got to push yourself and out of the shallow water. The enemy wants you to believe that walking with Jesus is meant to be comfortable. It is not. He wants you to believe that it's not really about the cause of Christ. It's really about us and what we want. It's about our best life now. That kind of thinking will keep you in the shallow aspects of Christ. You won't experience, you won't commune with Him on anywhere deeper than a shallow experience. And that's why Christian, coming to church, if you're in the shallows and that's your relationship, you experience God in church. And that's why churches today are trying to give signs and wonders and make it an experience. So you go there and you go, wow, I experienced God. No, you didn't. Experiencing God is a personal relationship one-on-one with you outside of church. Church is not meant for you to experience God. It's meant for you to come here and get equipped and encouraged and strengthened and go out into the deep and experience God. But see, we want a cheap substitute. We want to come and experience God when it's easy and comfortable and we're sitting in a pew and then we can feel good about ourselves. That's what religion does. And it takes the soldiers and make us weak, and it takes our mind off the mission. And so the mission does not get done. Do you want a shallow existence? Or do you want something deeper? Many want to keep it safe. Folks, soldiers don't stay where it is safe. They walk towards the fight. They embrace the hardships and the dangers to accomplish the mission. 2 Timothy 2, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Here's a question for you today. Are you pleasing God as a good soldier of Jesus Christ today? We're a different kind of soldier. Called to be a sheep or called to be a soldier? Complete opposite things. I mean, I would have never pictured a sheep as a threatening soldier. And if a soldier looks like a sheep, he ain't much of a soldier. But see, we're called to be both. We're called to be sheep who follow, go everywhere our master goes. We're dependent on Him completely, but we're also to be soldiers. We are sheep among wolves, but sheep who are to be soldiers as well in a great war, a spiritual war for the souls of humanity. Sheep, soldiers, they don't seem to fit, but in Christ they do. A believer who remains focused on themselves, a believer who does not want to venture out into the out of the shallows and into the deep, a believer who wants a comfortable existence, a religious one, a believer who does not make themselves available to Jesus, to sanctification and being obedient to go forth and make disciples, one who does not want to enter into the war, they miss out on a deeper and more personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they don't become soldiers. You can be a good sheep and be a bad soldier. It's not about being a good sheep and, okay, I'll try to be one of them. I'll be the sheep. No, you're called to be a sheep and a soldier. Not just one. Only in the fight, when we join Christ where He's at, the Holy Spirit out in the world, testifying to the world, will we discover the depths of His love, His grace, His peace, and His joy. I see believers who have none of those things. I've seen believers in every church I've ever been in, every ministry I've ever been a part of, where there's no joy. Let me tell you something. There's a joy to being a soldier. I used to love every morning putting on my, when I was a Marine, I put on my uniform and I'd look in the mirror and I was a Marine. I'm like, another glorious day to serve my beloved Marine Corps. And that was my attitude. Same with being a soldier. I can serve my country. I can serve soldiers. There's a pride there, not in myself, but in doing the job. There's joy in it. There's joy to being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's given us His full armor. And you know what? It's a strange picture. A sheep and a soldier combined, right? But guess what? Even though we're to be sheep, we're to be a soldier, we're not sheep going into this battle. Don't click yet. We're not a sheep going into battle just as a sheep with a helmet, as a soldier. We're going into this battle as sheep who are armed, who are packing a mighty weapon. Now, boom. Okay? We have a weapon, a mighty weapon, the Word of God. The most powerful weapon is the Word of God. And when we take the Word of God and we share it, it goes out. It won't come back void. It'll produce fruit. We're armed with the Word of God, the most powerful weapon on the planet today. But we don't beat people over the head with it. We love them. And we share the hard truths with them in love. And we're patient with them. We don't compromise it. It's a long war, folks. It's been raging since the Garden of Eden. There's been many battles. We're going to be in battles. Some will lose. Some we will be victorious. We must endure. We must stay the course. We must soldier on. We have to endure the hardships. And in the end, this war, guess what? It's already been won. It's still raging, but it's already been won. Christ has already won the war. But until the day that is acknowledged on this planet, we must fight. We must reach those who are lost. We must make the good fight of faith. My final verse for today. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. This is my theme verse for the Edge Youth Group. This is my theme of how we teach, what we want to teach. We want to make disciples, extreme disciples going eternal. Extreme disciples going eternal. What does that mean? We want to teach the kids not to worry about all the care, the things in this life. See past the temporal things in this life and see eternal life. See the glories of the eternal life. Lay hold on that vision so we stay focused on our Lord and Savior and we don't get sidetracked in this world. Lay hold of eternal life. Those that believers who say, what's one day of death? What's 10 days of tortures? What's 40 years in prison compared to the glories to come? They are focused on eternal life. And they're living their life in such a way. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Who are the witnesses? The saints who have gone before. The saints who have given the ultimate sacrifice. All of those that have gone before who have died. Those who were burned at the stake for bringing the Bible to the common man. Those missionaries who've been slaughtered, stepping into foreign lands to bring the gospel of peace. Our fellow brothers and sisters, soldiers who have waged the war, the battles before us. Who are we to put the banner down? Who are we to say, no, I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to make up my own Christianity. I'm going to stay in the shallows. I'm going to make the church all about me and what I want. And I don't care. We must dedicate ourselves to making the good fight of faith. Let us enter our mission field that surrounds this building. We're all missionaries. Charles Spurgeon said, every Christian is a missionary. When we leave these doors, we enter our mission field. We're good soldiers of Jesus Christ at that point. Let us go to battle, covered in the armor of Christ. Let us cast our doubts, our fears aside. Let us make ourselves available to Jesus. Make ourselves available to sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Let us make ourselves available to Him to guide us to people and speak through us to share the truth of Jesus Christ. Let us submit to His authority. Let us submit to the Word of God, which is our authority. Submit to His purpose and plans for your life. And be obedient to the calling of Jesus to go and make disciples. We're a different kind of soldier. We have a mission. Will we accomplish it? Are you pleasing to the one who enlisted you as a soldier? Not just a sheep, but a sheep and a soldier. Are you accomplishing the mission in your life? Or are you entangled in things that stop you from even considering sharing the gospel with those who are lost around you? And for many, they're entangled. They're never going to share. I want to challenge you not to be one of those. You won't be perfect, but at least you're trying. At least you're available. You're showing up to the fight. I'm going to end it right here. Folks, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I feel deep down in my heart. As Paul told the Galatians, you ran well. At first you were running so good. What happened? You slid back. Folks, the 5 years here, it's been a spiritual battle. Those first 5 years, it was hard. But the church came, there was growth, there was spiritual. And the Word of God became central. Not everyone in the church was obeying it, but the majority were seeking it. The sixth year, be honest with you folks, I see us in ways growing, but I see in other ways we're sliding back. We're sliding back. Soldiers push forward. Retreat is not in our creed. What kind of soldier are you? Ask yourself that. Are you in the fight? Or are you just a sheep in the shallow end? We can all be good soldiers. You just have to make yourself available. Submit to Him. And be obedient. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank You for Your sermon. I thank You for Your words. I feel free. I didn't put any of myself in there, Lord. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I know Your plans for this church are good. Plans to prosper us, but not in wealth or in souls. Lord, I know, I feel the time is short. The fight is coming to the end, and we have to make our stand now. Lord, I still have I feel great potential in this body. I feel that you can do such mighty things and bring such amazing fruit. But Lord, we have to be willing to labor. And we have to be willing to sacrifice and suffer. To give up things that stop us from being obedient to you. And offer ourselves to your service. Become not just sheep, but good soldiers as well. It's the full picture. Let us become what you have called us to be. I pray this in your name. Amen.